Full disclosure, this episode contains content about suicidal thoughts and tendencies. If you or a loved one is struggling or in need of assistance, we at this podcast advise you to call the suicide hotline at 988. Thanks for listening.
We heard the piano. That means we're recording. We're officially live, Tammy.
We're here.
We're here. What are you doing?
We're here. What are you doing?
What am I doing? What are you doing?
Thinking about chatting, thinking about life.
Yeah.
Thinking about these random ideas that come to my brain.
What is it that's coming to your brain right now?
So many things are coming to my brain. Okay, so first of all, life isn't stressful necessarily.
I disagree strongly.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Life is stressful. Okay.
It just is, you say.
Life isn't stressful by default, but, you know, things make it stressful. I'm stressed, man.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree that we can get stressed, but life in and of itself is not stressful necessarily. And it's also as stressful as we allow it to make us.
Right. I feel like I'm allowing a lot right now. I'm allowing a lot of my peace. My peace is getting damaged. My peace is getting darts thrown at it. My peace is getting shot up. I'm not giving myself rest. I'm not resting, Tammy. I'm doing too much. I don't know what the fuck. I don't know who I thought I was to fit all these things in my schedule. Work, seeing friends, partying, going out, seeing girls. Who do I think I am? Because right now I hit a depressive wall last week, got back on my meds a few days ago, which I cut out cold turkey, which didn't help.
Wow.
And stressed the F out. And
you're just living large. You were like doing the thing.
Living the fast life for too long. Yeah,
Doing it big. Doing the most.
Why?
Being the most.
Why? Well, because I was excited to be back in Kansas.
Sure.
I spent so many years in Atlanta, and I'm like, yo, I'm back home. Let's turn up. Yo. And then I'm back here, and I turned up, and now I'm just like, what is going on? Everything's defrosted. It feels like I let the windshield defrost finally, and now I'm just like, I don't want to do jack shit. I don't even want to work. I'm tired, Tammy. I don't want to do nothing. I'm stressed out. Life is stressful.
Life can be stressful.
It can be, and it is. And it's my own doing. It's my own fault, you know? I'm the one allowing these things to happen. I'm the one allowing myself to get stressed. I'm tired.
I bet you are tired. So I think what you need is a few moments of the Charlie Brown response.
What the fuck is the Charlie? What's the Charlie Brown?
Like you had to have watched Charlie Brown, and like when things get stressful or they go wrong, Charlie Brown's arms just fall down, and he throws his head back, and he just wails, and it's in all caps, A-A-A-A-A-R-R-R-R-G-G-G-G-H-H-H-H-H. And he just lets it all go.
Oh, I need
just freaks the freak out.
I need to go somewhere and scream like Charlie Brown is what you're saying.
Right, well. Kind of, yeah. But you need to find some way to get rid of all the stressors. And maybe your rendition of the Charlie Brown response is just chatting with me. Because I also believe that part of the Charlie Brown response is expressing what's frustrating you. And so sometimes there's this theory that's called, like, in the naming is the taming. Like when you name something, usually like it can be related to fear, but if you name something that's really bothering you and you kind of name what it is and describe it, then it loses power over you. And the more times that you name it, the less power it has.
What do you mean? Like, hold on, wait. You
name the thing that's stressing you out.
Huh.
And you deal with the thing that's stressing you out. And for me, this is going to go all over the place, but for me, what can often help me is if I'm like really like uptight about something and it's like just spinning around in my head, if I write it down on paper, then it has officially been put into – the word has escaped me right now and I feel real – and when I think of it, you're going to be like, that's ridiculous. Okay. It's officially put in external memory.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's no longer in my brain rolling around. It's in my external memory device. And that if I want to pick it up and put it back in my brain, I have to pick that piece of paper up and put it back in my brain.
Oh, yeah.
Because I needed to get rid of it. So that's kind of like, to me, that's another way, in the naming is the taming, because I just get rid of it. I put it on paper, I think the thoughts, and now it's on paper and it's out of my brain.
Do you feel like that piece of paper is like a recycle bin? Is that what it is? Sort of like a drag and drop into the recycle bin. This thing that I've named is no longer in my brain. It's in the trash can. Is that what it is? And then whenever you want it back in your brain, you can hit the recover button.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Oh, like you're talking about bin. Like, yes.
Like a computer. Like I'm dragging exactly. and dropping this thought, this stressor into the recycle bin. And if I want it again, right click, recover it.
There you go. And guess what? It's no longer on my desktop.
It's no longer on your desktop.
I don't have to look at it every day. It's someplace else, and I don't have to look at it unless I choose to. So that's like one way that you can unload it, offload the thing that's stressing you out. And the other thing is to kind of break it down and like look at the stressor and then break down those pieces to find out, okay, I'm really stressed out about X, work, or whatever. And then sometimes what happens to me is like, I think, oh my gosh, my day was so stressful. I'm so exhausted. I'm so tired. And at the end of the day, I think, what was it that stressed me out? And maybe what really stressed me out was that I said something inappropriate to somebody and I need to kind of deal with that in my brain and then with that person. And then the stress leaves because I realize what the stressor was. Does that
you
make
don't,
sense?
You don't beat yourself up longer than you need to. You don't feel like, because I feel like when I do something incorrect, when I face a human error, instead of I'm able to identify it, but then I'm just like, fuck, like why did I kind of beat myself up longer than I need to. How do you go from identifying it to eliminating it instead of identifying it and then letting it fucking eat you up? Because I feel like I have a habit of, I do something incorrect, I start doing too much, I'm doing this thing, I'm talking to this person, I'm just whatever. I identify that I'm doing too much, but instead of solving it and leaving it alone, I identify that I'm doing too much, and then I beat myself up about, I play victim, which is so fucked up, because I'm not the victim.
That you just kind of defined it for yourself. Okay, so I do that a lot. One thing that I used to do, and it's because of ADHD, oftentimes I would... I don't know. When you have ADHD, sometimes you're just too much.
Right.
Like you're too loud, you laugh too loud, you talk too much, you talk too fast, whatever. So I was finding myself like I would, at the end of the day, I would go home and I would lay in bed and then I would replay in my mind every single conversation that I had for the day. And
right.
I would analyze everything that I said. And it's just rolling around in my brain every night, all the things I said. And then I'm like, ugh. And sometimes I would even think about something I had said years before that was kind of related. And then I get this embarrassing, sick feeling in my stomach because I'm embarrassed all over again by the thing that I did.
Sure.
And why am I reliving those negative emotions? Why am I doing that to myself? So
I just didn't. I just had that happen to me where I met, I went out to a bar and I met one of my friends, one of my friends were there and I met their partner for the first time. And I guess they went to high school with me and I didn't remember.
Oh.
And I went to introduce myself and how standoffish they were. Like I was so sweet, but how standoffish they were made me feel like I am so wrong. Like I am wrong for introducing myself. I found out I went to high school with them later because I messaged my friend and I was like,
what
yo, I'm sorry if I made your partner uncomfortable, if I made things awkward, like yada, yada, yada. And they're like, nah, it's cool. You went to high school with them and they didn't like something you did. They're just standoffish in person. Didn't know that at the time, but I had tried to introduce myself and they were so standoffish that I went home that night and all I could think about is like, why didn't they shake my hand?
Absolutely.
What the fuck did I do wrong? All I did was like, hey, I'm Max. Didn't even shake my hand, like cold turkey stared at me.
I haven't actually mastered this yet, but what I'm really working on is recognizing when it's a you problem and not a me problem. You're not shaking my hand because you had a problem with something I did when I was an adolescent.
16.
Yeah, you have a problem. That's a you problem because you're hanging on to baggage that you have no business hanging on to, and you're letting it bring negativity into your life. That's a you problem. That's not a me problem. That's not a you problem.
Okay.
Or that's a you problem, the other person. It's not, that shouldn't be yours.
A Max problem.
Yes,
you're
Max
so
problem.
Right. No, I was really thinking like, damn, what the fuck? I don't even know their name. And I'm like, dude, what did I do in high school that hurt this person? And I was like beating myself up for so long about it, like a few days that I had it got so overwhelming where I had to text my friend because he didn't notice. I had to text him and I had to say,
hey,
I'm sorry. Like, what did I, like, it was horrifically awkward. What's good? And he told me like, oh, you guys, but you're right. That is a them problem that has
nothing to do with you
anymore.
No,
not now. Not this version of Max.
Right, and we had even talked about that. You understanding that you are a different versions of you to other people over time or in different situations. And so if they are in a different time, in a different situation, I mean, they can keep living in high school.
Right. Why are they putting me in high school? Why am I still high school, Max? Why can't I be 25-year-old Max? Why am I still? Because I must have been an asshole. I'm not going to lie. If they still see me as, if they wouldn't even shake my hand, their first impression of me must have been horrific. And I don't know what it was or what it is. And I was confused. And I don't know who they are. I don't know their name. But you're right.
And you
right.
don't need to. And you don't but need to. But at this point, it's your choice.
Right. Right.
Am I going to live regretting something that I don't even remember?
Right. I'm not. Hell no,
or
if I'm not.
Or am I just going to be present and today and do what I need to do today?
I don't even want to know them. I don't need to know them. I'm yeah. good without them.
Okay, you know that my head is full of all kinds of crazy quotes.
What do you got?
Okay, and I'm going to paraphrase this, and it's probably going to come out wrong, but the quote basically is, don't let yourself trip over something in the past. It's behind you. And if you're walking forward and moving forward, that thing in the past shouldn't be in front of you. It shouldn't be in your way because it's behind you.
Right.
So don't trip over it.
I can't trip over
it. Don't stumble over it. Don't mess with it. It's behind you.
You know what's crazy is that, like, I hear that and I always think, like, the past. And when I hear the past, I think of, like, it's so far away. But I forget the past is like an hour ago. Like, the past yes. is like, the past is 35 minutes ago. The past is the past literally before we recorded the podcast. But I have to remind myself of that because I always think, like, the past is like last week, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. When I hear the past, my first association with it is years ago. Old Max, young Max. But I forget that, you know, and it's a good reminder that you just said that, is that, like, I can be a new Max in 5 minutes. The past is, I can change. I can switch up. The past Max is 5 minutes ago, Max. Mm-hmm. I can switch. I can change. I don't know. I just forget that the past is more recent than, right. The past just sounds like dinosaur times. Like back in the day, right. The past. I forget that. The past is literally yesterday.
Just, it just happened.
The past art is just happened. We had the past just happened. I can be a new man right now. Or I don't know. I can let things go. I don't have to trip over things that happened yesterday is what I'm trying to say. Like,
I like that. But also, you don't have to, like, you don't even have to think about this incident that happened with this person anymore because that's in the past. And you don't even have to think about being a different person than you were because the day that you met them in that bar, you were already
a different person.
And you were already okay. You were okay with who you were. And right. there was no reason for you not to be.
Right.
So we don't have to think about that anymore. And I'm thinking about something from The Lion King.
The movie.
The Lion King. So do you
what
remember
are you thinking about
when,
like,
well, when Rafiki busts Simba in the head with the staff?
Boom. Hell yeah, I remember. Boom.
And Rafiki's like, Simba's like, what did you do that for? And he's like, it was in the past. Don't worry about it.
Funny.
Even though it just happened seconds ago, boom. It's in the past. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. It's easier said than done, I admit, because I told you that I still wrestle with, like, replaying my thoughts.
Sure.
So the other day, I had a situation at work, and, like, I'm going to play out the situation.
Yeah.
So I was doing a training for somebody, and I'm not their boss, but I'm like their coach. And so that person came in the room and their boss was across from me and I'm standing there and she says, hey, I got to ask you something because there was something I was doing and you both gave me different answers.
Mm.
And so I just kind of want to talk about it. So she asks us and then the boss and I, like, we start debating, but it's like a really healthy professional debate. We're both seeing it from different sides. Both of us are actually right depending on the circumstance.
Sure.
And we go back and forth. And then the other person, a few minutes later, she's like in tears. And she was like, I just sometimes feel like I don't know what direction to turn and right because I'm just unclear.
Oh, freaked out.
So I go home and I'm like, Was I being a jackass?
Did you just make this person cry?
Well, was I, like, she came in with uncertainty, and because I'm having a healthy debate with her boss, did I put her in a situation of more uncertainty because we didn't definitely, we kind of were like, it could be either way, and we didn't give her a solid answer. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe what I did when I was debating with her boss is I was undermining her authority in front of her employee, and, like, maybe that's a messed up situation. So instead of ruminating all night long on it. I pulled my journal out and I wrote down, tomorrow I will go to this person's boss and I will be honest about my thoughts about the situation and respectfully apologize if they feel I had disrespected them or undermined their authority.
Wow.
And then two, I will go to that person who I spoke with and tell them that I apologize for putting them in a space of uncertainty and for being disrespectful to their boss. I wrote it down, went to bed, I was done, it was fine. Because it was out of my brain.
You recycle-binned it.
I resolved it on paper.
Yeah.
So I had a plan to do something about it. Like the resolution was, I went to both people and both of them said, no, that's not what I thought at all.
Oh, and instead of letting your anxiety eat you up, like, I'm a villain.
So the one person, the boss was like, oh, no, I love a healthy debate. I think this is a great thing for us to demonstrate to our employees that we don't have to always be right. Like, we can discuss things and respect one another's professional opinion. I thought it was a really healthy debate.
Yeah.
It was beautiful, which is what I originally thought. But then I started questioning myself because a girl cried. And so I go back to the girl who was in tears and I tell her, I'm sorry if I created more uncertainty for you. And she says, no, that was not what I was upset about. I came to ask a question, but while you were there, I started thinking about another situation that I had that was causing uncertainty. And it just made me really emotional in the moment. Mm. Had nothing to do with you. I really appreciate what you guys were doing and what you told me.
Aww.
And I was like, okay, so had I not put it in the recycle bin, I mean, that would have ate me up. I would have just been...
You would have thought you were the problem the whole time.
Right, which is also an ego and a pride thing.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because sometimes I just have to look in the mirror and be like, it's not about you, Tammy.
It's not me.
It is not... Well, everything's not about you.
Right, which is funny that 100%, because when you said it's a you problem, it's a them problem, yes. In the situation where I met Shorty in the bar, mm-hmm. and I tried to introduce myself, is totally an ego and pride thing for me to think like, damn, I made this huge impact on their life. I did this wrong. I, me. I didn't even consider the fact that, like, because of my ego and pride, I didn't even consider the fact, lack of better terms, maybe they're fucked up. Maybe they're not right. Maybe it's on them. And that it's hard for me to think that because I always want to take responsibility.
For sure.
Always want to take responsibility for everything in my life. If someone is feeling some type of way about me, regardless if it's accurate or not, I believe strongly that no matter if it's your fault, you need to take responsibility for everything in your life, but you're not responsible for everything in your life, if that makes sense. And that's something that...
Well, you can't control everything.
You can't control. You're not responsible for everything. You can't control it. But at the same time, if it happens, you got to take responsibility and solve it.
And you're responsible for your responses.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. you have to take responsibility. You have to be like, I'm going to solve this one, respond to this way, even if it's not my problem. But it's in my life. So it's my responsibility to solve it. So when I think about this person who was upset at me for whatever the hell I was when I was 16, I immediately went to like that mode where it's like, how do I fix this? I need to text this dude. I need to apologize. I need to do this. Let my pride and ego get in the way. But yeah, I don't mean to even take it back there, but I think.
For sure.
But that what you mentioned is like, if I would have just put it on paper and fixed it, like if I would have wrote it out, it probably would have made more sense in my brain. Like, oh, it's not me at all. This is them. I didn't even think about that until you just said that.
Right.
So.
I mean, and it's not okay to always do that because I really felt like in that situation, what I saw in that situation in my workplace, what I saw made it look like it was a result of that interaction.
Right.
Because it's all that I had seen. And so I wanted to, as like you do, take responsibility for my part if that was the case because things were unspoken. And
you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what anyone's going through.
Isn't
that crazy that like, then when you follow up and you ask, it reveals a whole other layer of this person. You're like, oh, you're going through some shit. Like that I didn't even, I look at you and I assume you're not going through anything. At least that's how I feel about people.
Right.
I look at people, even though I'm going through so much, my default is like everyone else, and this is a pride and ego thing, everyone else ain't going through shit. I'm going through shit. And I don't even consider that people are going through some shit.
Everybody else is okay. And everyone else has never happened to anybody but me.
Right.
I'm the only person who suffers.
Isn't that sucky that that's like a default thinking mode? Like everyone else is fucking cooling. They're chilling. And then you do something like that where you follow up. You're like, did I make you cry? And then you realize, like, oh, no, and Shorty's going through every motion ever made. She's right. Human.
And we ended up having a really great conversation about some other things that, and then ultimately she felt really supported. But I, so I think it was important that I went back so that she could address and give voice to what was concerning her and why she did it in the workplace, which is, like, not a typical place that you're going to tear up, right?
Yeah.
In the middle of discussing these the minutia of your job, but
the minutia.
But it ended up being good. But the other part of that, Max, is like I know you can say, okay, it's my ego a little bit, but part of that is there is a thing called being over functioning or hyper responsible, and so like over functioning is like you know it is a, it's dysfunctional, but it's like you're really doing more than you need to do
all the time. Like, doing too much, boy. You're doing too much.
And you're actually trying to manage things that really, just because the individuals are in your sphere of influence, you feel somewhat responsible for some of the things that are happening, and it shouldn't be that way. So moms do that a lot. They try to, like, control everything for their kids and overfunction to compensate for the things that aren't happening or the things that they wish happened or they wish that they had done in the past. So
there's a brilliant song that comes to mind when you just said that. By this artist, Layla, and she goes, the whole song is her just going, that's just not my problem, not my problem, that's just not my problem. They're talking shit, they're talking shit, it's not my problem. But it's not everything is my problem, is what you kind of just mentioned. You're not, it's not your problem, is what I was going for right there.
Right.
It's not my problem.
And I agree, so that,
it could easily be my problem. I can make it my problem in a heartbeat by default.
You can't escape thinking about things that might not be your problem. But for me, I don't know what you would do, but for me to get it out of my head so that I can evaluate what it is and determine whether or not it's really a rational thought and I should be thinking this.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, can I tell you something else?
Tell me.
That goes to relating. So we said at one point in time we were going to talk about the time when I thought that I maybe wanted to end my life. And I had, like, I was really investigating it. I thought that I was having a really intellectual view of it. So I went to my car in the garage and I rolled down the windows and shut the garage door and turned the car on. And I was like, I'm going to see how long it takes for me to start to get a little dizzy.
Oh, shit.
Like, how long is this process going to take for me, for my life to actually be over? Let me calculate what I'm doing. So I'm there in the car and I'm on my phone and I'm scrolling through my phone. And so I start Googling.
How long does it take,
right?
Going on Reddit.
How long does it take?
Yeah.
And then like this article comes up and it's talking about how somebody had left their car running and in a garage and the fumes went into the house and a teenager inside the house died.
Oh, backfired.
And I was like, that's bad news. Let me open up the garage. Let me turn this off. I can't be killing people inside my house.
Imagine you kill your own homies and you survive.
Or your pet. Yeah. So I was like, no, this is bad. This is terrible. So what I do is I go inside and I start journaling. And I start journaling, like, with a very clear, intelligent mind. I start journaling what I did. I went into the garage, and this is what I happened. And I Googled, and I found this information. So I really don't know how long it's going to take for me to die. And I'm journaling like these are sane thoughts.
Yeah.
And I get it down.
You're not even questioning them.
And I get it down on paper and I look at it and I say, and I look at it and I say to myself, those are the words of a crazy person.
This is nuts.
That is insane.
This is nuts.
But in my head, it was making so much sense that I was going to put it down on paper and start making a plan. But once I put it on paper, I realized, oh my gosh, this is insane.
This is a nuts person.
So
that's beautiful. You realize it was nuts.
I called the suicide hotline and I said, hey, this is what just happened, because they always want to know, are you going to harm yourself or someone else, blah, blah, blah. And I had never called the number before, and I said, well, look, I don't know if I'm really at risk, but this is just what happened to me, and this is what happened today. And when I wrote it down on paper, I realized that it was kind of a crazy thing to happen, and they said, hey, hold on one moment. And then they were like, hey, we've got a spot for you in this facility for you to get some care, because you really need some care. Do you have somebody who could drive you there? Yes, I do. And that's what I did.
Wow. But
had I not written it down and realized how ridiculous that was?
It could have been OD. It could have been bad
possibly,
news.
Possibly, but I probably, well, I'm not even going to go into like what if, but.
Right.
But because I got it out of my head and I was able to evaluate what I was thinking, I knew I need to make a better choice.
Can I ask you a personal question? May I?
More personal than what I just told you?
Yeah, more digging into that. Can I dig into that?
Yeah.
How long did you spend? You went to the facility for real? Like you went and did the thing? How long were you there?
I was there for a week.
A week? And what? I mean, I don't need to know all the details, but what? Did you feel like when you were there, like, oh, I needed this? Or did you feel like, this is ridiculous? I'm not that crazy.
Well, by the time I got there, I had, and to get into a state that's that dark, that's pretty heavy.
Right.
And so when I went to the facility, some things happen when you're there. They work really hard to make sure that you really don't have to make any decisions and you can just worry about self-care. So I wasn't having to care for children. I wasn't having to worry about anybody in my family. I wasn't going to work. I wasn't planning meals because they planned the meals. They told you when you needed to eat and when you needed to have a snack, right? So I didn't have to do any of those things.
Sure.
So it was first of all, it was a time that I really was able to decompress. I know a lot of people feel controlled by like that and they don't like to go to those facilities. But for me, it was like this huge weight of responsibility that was lifted.
You didn't have to make decisions.
I didn't. And at the time I was like, to be quite honest, at the time I was just really wrestling with what was my life going to be and am I going to get a divorce and what's going to happen? And so the second night, one of the staff members came into my room and I had already talked about, you know, why I was there, what I was going through emotionally, and they handed me three books. And one book was about healing marital relationships. Hmm. One book was about getting divorced. And then one book was about raising, how you can still raise healthy children even if you get divorced.
Wow.
So he's like, I don't know what your situation is going to be, but here's some materials for you to evaluate because any of these things could actually happen. And so it was the first time that I looked at possibly separating from my ex-husband in a light that said, there's going to be life after this. And not only can it be okay with you, but it can be okay for your children.
Wow.
So that was like that just totally shifted
my
head.
Flipped your brain off, yeah.
And while I was there, because you know they do like a full psyche eval of you while you're in there, while I was there, that's when I got my diagnosis for ADHD.
And it was the same time. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they were like, let's do this adult survey, which has like a billion questions on it.
yeah.
And like her eyebrow kept raising. I know you're not supposed to like have any kind of response. Like she's not supposed to have a response, so I did the whole thing and she was like, you have severe adult ADHD.
Wow. She just diagnosed you right then and
like
there.
You really, well, the questionnaire does it. So anyway, so that's what happened. So I was there for a week. There's other adults there. We had group sessions. I had art therapy.
Oh.
I ran a lot. I was running at that time. And so we had gym time. I was doing a lot of running.
Was it your divorce that led you to a suicidal place? Like the thought of a divorce, the fact that, oh shit, things are coming to an end. I don't know what the hell my life is looking like, or what led you to the point where you're like, I'm going to fucking die in this car.
So there's a few different things. So of course, I think the divorce might've been a trigger, but really the part that was most debilitating was me doing the thing that you and I are doing, me saying, okay, what did I do wrong? How did I fail this relationship? why am I in this place? Why can't I do anything to fix it? Mm. Like, I have no power to do anything about this. And now I'm not good enough to be married. Like, all these really, really negative thoughts that are really not true.
Sure.
But that's where my head was. And not only that, this is going to be terrible for my kids. And I, because now they're going to be a divorced family. And I never wanted that for my children. And this is not what, you know, just all of that.
Yeah.
So it was kind of triggered by it, but it's a whole lot of things that didn't necessarily have to happen, but that was the state of mind that I was in.
Just completely self-deprecating or just like beating yourself to a pulp.
Right.
Yeah, no, I suffer's a fucking hilarious word. I don't really suffer. I deal with suicidal ideation a lot. That's something that I, as an adult, as a tween and a teen, I mm-hmm. never dealt with it, but the older I got, the worse my brain got. Mm-hmm. Suicidal ideation, man. Like, wanting to kill yourself so bad but being too scared. That's, like, default to me. Like, I think that's normal. Like, I assume everyone suffers. Just, like, I assume everyone likes listening to music.
And then that is not normal.
Then I meet someone who doesn't like music, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Right.
What do you mean you don't listen to music? Just so that's how I feel with suicide ideation. I'm like, everyone deals with this. I'm fine.
No,
probably not. Just like how not everyone listens to music on the, you know, like maybe not everyone suffers suicide. I got to remind myself of that. But that's how I kind of downplay my depression sure. is by thinking straight up, everyone does this shit. Deal with it, bro. You're good.
What's really interesting about that is that you don't think that about all the things that you're responsible for.
Yeah.
But this thing that could be really harmful for you, you just dismiss.
Dismiss. Oh yeah, dismiss it hardcore because I don't know. I just know that like I think about harming myself, I think about killing myself, I think about my relationships with people and how serious or unserious they are and my weight and yada yada, like in these people's lives, and I don't know. I don't even mean to take it there, but I've never tried to kill myself. But I've definitely got to the point where I'm like, even recently, where it's like, oh, okay, well, I probably need to die. And I feel like that's probably also helped me accept death, though. Like, peace, I'm cooling. It's getting dark, but
it is getting dark.
But I don't even mean to take it there. But I've dealt with it.
There are two separate things. So accepting death and wanting to not live are two separate things.
Mm.
So like for me right now, I'm really like, and I've told my kids for years, if I go, know that I'm okay with going. I'm sure. not afraid of. I'm not going to try to kill myself. But understand if that happens to me, do not feel bad for me because I'm ready.
I feel the same way.
I have no. I don't feel like there's anything left on earth that I'm supposed to do. If it's my time, it's my time.
I feel the same way.
But that doesn't mean that I want to be gone.
Right. Right, 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 right.
Or that I think about that.
It's not that I'll... Right, right.
Or that, right? Mm-hmm. Or I consider maybe the world would be a better place if I wasn't here. I did once think that, but I don't anymore.
Yeah, I don't know how to not think that. And not that... It sounds crazy. I'm sounding crazy. It sounds like, boy, you need therapy. But I'm like...
I feel like that needs to go in your recycling bin.
It needs to be wrote down and dragged and dropped in the recycle bin. And instead of even being able to right-click and recover it, it needs to be emptied. I need to hit the empty button. It needs to leave because...
You don't think maybe you should be like, maybe talk to a therapist about it?
I've tried. And speech therapy, dude. Speech therapy. I've been through quite a few therapists and... The closest thing I had to a real helpful therapist so happened to also be my psychiatrist who genuinely listened to me and genuinely understood me. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm looking forward to getting my meds refilled and venting to you because you got the answers. Yes. But I've never had good luck with therapists. I had one therapist who told me I just need to jack off more. I thought that was the craziest advice I've ever gotten.
On earth? People are nuts.
And then I stopped going to that therapist. But I just haven't had good luck. And I just let... He says, sounds like you should jack off, my boy. And I'm like, that is...
Wow.
I no longer... Because I was talking about my problems with women and whatnot.
No.
And I'm like, that is the worst advice I could ever
That's
get.
That's super unhealthy.
Like, what? So I kind of gave up on speech therapy after that. And when I found my psychiatrist, who I'm not with anymore because I'm not in Georgia, he was really present and really listened to me. But I, anyways, to circle back, yeah, sounds like I need to talk to a therapist, but damn, Tammy is just like, who and like what?
Maybe we just need to talk. You and I just need to talk
maybe
more.
Maybe you and I just need to talk more. I think this is healthy. We're learning.
Right. We're processing. We're not thinking these thoughts that.
We need to process it. We need to talk it into existence. It needs to be realer. It needs to be more real, which is good. I'm glad I can get that off to you because
we need you.
I don't talk about it. I really, really don't talk about it. I feel like I'm not worthy of talking about it a lot of the times. Like, I am not the one to be suicidal. I'm the strong one. I'm the, I put a lot on my shoulders.
But you could admit that now.
Hell yeah.
Like, to me, that you get into that low place. And when you get into that low place, what are you going to do?
Right.
Right, and figure out what the plan is that you're going to do. Right? Which is part of, like, getting yourself out of that headspace, is knowing when I get into that place and I start thinking about it, what are my options? What am I going to think about? Am I going to call somebody? Am I going to text somebody? What am I going to do?
Right. Complain. I'm going to text somebody and complain. That's probably what I'm going to do. It helps, though. I love complaining.
Do you?
It doesn't help. I hate complaining.
I mean, that's like the Charlie Brown response.
No, literally, I just like text my friend and I'm like, dude, this shit sucks. I play victim. And it doesn't help. Complaining actually doesn't help. Complaining makes it like worse, actually, because then you're just playing victim and then you're just like, everything sucks. Everything's hard.
Yeah, or you're complaining and you're not getting to a solution or, right? And then you're not, sometimes like not having appropriate self-compassion and forgiveness, it just is, that's not healthy either.
It leads to nothing. Complaining and not having a solution leads to literally nothing. It just makes it worse. And that's what I do. I complain a lot. That's probably why I should complain to a therapist. Because they're going to be like, oh, okay, well. But we'll get there. We'll cross that bridge, Tammy. Okay. We'll cross the therapy bridge again.
We've got so many things that we could potentially talk about. That opened up a big can of something.
We could touch on it again.
We don't have to do it right now, but I am concerned, so.
What are you concerned about?
I'm concerned about you having a suicidal ideation.
A lot of it. Every
continually.
A lot of it. Not even lying. Not even saying that for the soundbite. I deal with suicidal ideation heavy. And I don't know. Again, and then I disregard it by thinking everyone else does. I like take the weight off of it. But yeah, no. I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to kill myself, right? Right, Tim? I'm not going to kill myself, right? Sure. Right?
No, you're not going to do that.
I'm not going to do that. You're right. I'm not doing it. I can't.
Look me in the eye.
Okay, I'm looking at you in the eye. You see me?
I see you.
I will not kill myself. I promise.
And the thing is that when you're looking at today, that's the other thing. If you can just be in this moment and not let your past trip you up, then you don't have those things plaguing you.
Yeah.
You're not fretting. You don't have much to complain about if you're in the moment that you're in right now because you're not thinking about everything that's in the past.
Past can't trip me.
No. And so there's that. But then you also, if you're not worried about the past all the time, then that means you're constantly forgiving yourself.
Sure.
And being kind to yourself about anything that you did in the past that maybe you don't approve of.
Mm. The best advice I've ever gotten was from you. I think I told you this already, but when you told me to forgive myself, that hit so different. There was one time you just told me this. You didn't have anything else to say to me. I was going through some shit, and the only thing you told me, out of everything everyone else had ranted at me about, everything else anyone had said, the two words, forgive yourself, that you gave me when I was fucking up, changed everything. Because now I do forgive myself for a lot of shit. That doesn't mean I validate it or say forgiving yourself isn't, you're good, bro. You're right. You did the right thing. Right. Forgiveness isn't validating or approving of your actions. What forgiving yourself is being your own friend and hugging you. And saying, it's okay. Maybe what you did wasn't okay, but who am I to judge you?
Right.
And once you told me that, that completely, I don't know, I'm ranting a little bit, but hearing forgive yourself from you made me really forgive myself for a lot, and I continue to do so.
Yay, I'm so glad.
But yeah, that's real. And I don't know, that was really great to hear. at the time I needed it because I wasn't going to. There was no forgiving myself. There was only, I fucked up. Mm-hmm. Why, God, why? I'm human, but that doesn't mean anything. And I was just so hard on myself. And hearing forgive yourself, that was the answer I needed. That was what I needed to hear. It wasn't, you didn't question me why. You didn't look at me and go, what is it? Talk to me. What you going through? Why are you doing this? It was just forgive yourself. Just, and I'm like, damn, that's what I needed to do. I just needed to forgive myself, and it fixed it. And it made me better, like grew from that. But yeah, forgive yourself, team. If you're listening to this, don't forget to forgive yourself. It's hard. Forgiving yourself is hard, but it's actually as easy as saying, and I've said this before, you're good, bro.
Yeah.
You're good. You're okay.
You're good.
It's fine. It's yes. fucking fine. It's it that easy. Is. You don't and have it, to believe it. You don't have to believe it. You just got to say it.
You can say, like, forgive yourself. And you can forgive yourself even if you know there's something I need to make amends for.
Right.
But I can still forgive myself and pursue that. Sure. Right. I can, or I can forgive myself and know that maybe with the, maybe if it's related to another person, I'm going to be considered untrustworthy and I'm going to have to earn their trust, but I can still forgive myself.
Right. There's still work to do. Forgiving yourself doesn't eliminate the problem. It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't, but it, what it does do is it gives you permission to move on.
Yes.
Is it gives you permission to be okay. It doesn't, if you're hurting somebody and you forgive yourself, it doesn't mean the problem's over.
Right.
They have to still forgive you.
Right.
And maybe they don't, or maybe they don't, but you still have work to do. But forgiving yourself, when I heard that,
it means that you get to move forward and you don't have to keep tripping over what's in the past.
You gave yourself permission to move forward. And it's as easy as literally saying you're good. It's okay. And you don't have to believe it, but you got to say it. And, yeah, it gives you permission to move. But that was super important to me because I never heard that before. I never heard forgive yourself. What is the fuck? Forgive yourself. I never heard that. So that was beautiful. That was good times.
It was good times. Oh my gosh.
Good times. But yeah, Tammy.
Well, just even talking to you, I'm realizing how much and how important it is to have, to be having this kind of a conversation. And not just in front of a microphone, but these are the kind of conversations that anybody needs to be having with the people who they care about.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is important. I mean, see, and here we are. Here I am going, I'm analyzing it, and I don't need to be analyzing it.
You do. Analyze it.
I'm always, I just think always, about it. Think I'm about always it. Thinking about things and analyzing things.
There's a lot to chew on. We talked a lot about a lot. You have to chew on it. You can't just be like, I'm taking that at face value. You have to analyze some things, but then let it go, right? Put it on some paper. But yeah, chew on it. That's what they say. Chew on that.
Okay, so here's this, all this really heavy stuff that we've talked about. I think that we, in essence, have done, like, we can, like, kind of go back to where we started and go back to the point where I say, like, in the naming is the taming. Like, when you speak it, then you can conquer it. And so I feel like I'm hoping that you're like, because you spoke honestly about this suicide ideation, then that is going to be put you in a position where you have better control,
yeah.
where you are more aware of it and more aware of, you know how I feel about normal, but you're more aware of maybe this not being a healthy thing.
Right.
For humans in general. So we're going to try to do the healthy thing.
We're going to do the healthy thing. We're going to put those thoughts in a recycle bin and hit empty trash. We're not dealing with it. You listen to You and I Just Talk with Max and Tammy. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to go ahead and end the episode now. If you're doing something, if you're going through something, my biggest advice is what Tammy gave me. Forgive yourself first, then solve this shit. Then figure it out. But make sure you're forgiven. That's step one. Thank you for listening. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh my gosh. Was it?
What?